When we returned to our box, Nubo had once again fallen into conversation with a man nearby. I couldn't interrupt, so I pretended to be absorbed in watching the wrestlers on the mound prepare for their bout. The audience had grown restless. Nubo wasn't the only one talking. I felt such a longing to turn to the chairman and ask if he recalled a day several years ago when he'd shown kindness to a young girl, but of course, I could never say such a thing. Besides, it would be disastrous for me to focus my attention on him while Hatsumomo was watching. Soon, Nubo turned back to me and said, "These bouts have been tedious. When Miyagiyama comes out, we'll see some real skill." This, it seemed to me, was my chance to dote on him.
"But the wrestling I've seen already has been so impressive," I said, "and the things President Nubo has been kind enough to tell me have been so interesting I can hardly imagine we haven't seen the best already."
"Don't be ridiculous," said Nubo. "None of these wrestlers deserves to be in the same ring as Miyagiyama."
Over Nobu's shoulder, I could see Hatsumomo in a far tier. She was chatting with Owajiumi and didn't appear to be looking at me.
"I know this may seem a very foolish thing to ask," I said, "but how can a wrestler as small as Miyagiyama be the greatest?"
And if you had seen my face, you might have thought no subject had ever interested me more. I felt ridiculous, pretending to be absorbed by something so trivial, but no one who saw us would have known that we weren't talking about the deepest secrets of our souls. I'm happy to say that at that very moment, I caught a glimpse of Hatsumomo turning her head toward me.
"Miyagiyama only looks small because the others are so much fatter," Nubo was saying. "But he's very vain about his size. His height and weight were printed in the newspaper perfectly correctly a few years ago, and yet he was so offended he had a friend hit him on top of the head with a plank and then gorged himself on sweet potatoes and water and went down to the newspaper to show them they were wrong."
Probably I would have laughed at nearly anything Nubo had said, for Hatsumomo's benefit, I mean. But in fact, it really was quite funny to imagine Miyagiyama squinting his eyes shut and waiting for the plank to come banging down. I held that image in my mind and laughed as freely as I dared, and soon Nubo began to laugh with me. We must have looked like the best of friends to Hatsumomo, for I saw her clapping her hands in delight. Soon I struck upon the idea of pretending that Nubo himself was the chairman. Every time he spoke, I overlooked his gruffness and tried to imagine gentleness instead. Gradually, I found myself able to look at his lips and block from my mind the discoloring and the scars, and imagine that they were the chairman's lips, and that every nuance in his voice was some comment on his feelings about me. At one point, I think I convinced myself I wasn't even in the exhibition hall, but in a quiet room kneeling beside the chairman. I hadn't felt such bliss in as long a time as I could remember, like a ball tossed in the air that seems to hang motionless before it falls. I felt myself suspended in a state of quiet timelessness. As I glanced around the hall, I saw only the beauty of its giant wooden timbers and smelled the aroma of the sweet rice cakes. I thought this state might never end, but then, at some point, I made a comment I don't even remember, and Nubo responded,